This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 357. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Diana meets a Disney princess, Solomon Grundy smash Adam West. The convergence is complete, and the crisis that never happened. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Mark, we're taping on a Wednesday.
Yes, we are. We're taping off schedule due to some family commitments.
Oh, blame me. Go ahead.
No, well, it was me last weekend, so... And so we're going to be covering the previous 2 weeks of comics. We won't get to this week of comics because we haven't even picked them up yet.
No, even though it's New Comic Book Day, the new comics are not in the house yet.
Plus, we had to switch to the backup equipment, which is why we sound different today.
We're not in the comic book lounge.
That's right. Nothing's going correctly. I don't know. Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 10 by Ryan Deucen Broom. So this is one of the digital first comics, and then it comes out in printed form.
Okay, why is Diana pink on the cover here? We put that as the cover art for this show, but she's clearly pink. I was like, is this a breast cancer awareness comic? I don't know. Or maybe she's going to be an alien inside, like Starfire or something.
I think it's just artistic license by the cover artist, and I'm not a big fan of it. So we have our first story. With Diana as a bodyguard, a fitness instructor for a teen music star. So there's a couple flashbacks about this woman, Clarice, who's a friend of Diana's from her days running a women's shelter.
And she was actually in a previous issue of this Sensation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then there's a flashback to a young James who's upset with the latest Stars Fall from Grace.
And she's like a Disney star. And it appears like some Disney girl who's a singer, you know. Think Hannah Montana or
right.
Any of the previous ones.
So then you flash forward again to the music tour where Esperanza is trying to move beyond her pop music to serious acting. And then Clarice is now her bodyguard, tutor.
Tutor, yeah. Her mom has hired her to be a tutor, but really she's supposed to be in charge of her safety.
And of course, James is hired as the head of security, which ruins everything because... Clarice is supposed to be a tutor, but backed up as her personal guard. She's been worried there have been threats. She calls in Diana. James is the one who's been plotting to ruin Esperanza. She's just getting too big for her britches as a girl. He tries to kill innocent fans. Diana saves the day.
Yes. That was pretty much it.
The second story.
Diana versus Dragon. So a dragon is attacking downtown, and Diana comes in to try to stop it. It turns out that Hippolyta killed the dragon's family, and the dragon wants to kill Diana in retaliation.
Right.
Yeah. Diana tries to talk him down, but he won't listen. She has to kill the dragon, but she takes him back to the island where his family was to bury him. So Diana is eventually concluding that the dragon really just wanted to commit suicide. So suicide by Amazon instead of, suicide by any other means. I do like this comic.
Right. It's not doing very well in the numbers, but I think the digital probably keeps it going. Batman 66 number 23 by Parker and Schoonover. Another digital first.
Do we notice a trend here? I think that the best work right now is coming off the digital first titles that don't have to follow the DC continuity.
Right. Well, we get the origin story of two major villains, because we start with the groovy grave of Solomon Grundy. Marcia, Queen of Diamonds, who was played by Carolyn Jones on the series, is in prison, but her Aunt Helga, who was played by Estelle Winward, is out for revenge. So one of Marcia's previous husbands, who was married for his money, has died, and the witchy aunt has a potion to raise him from the dead. She recites a little ditty, and the husband,
who's Cyrus Gold,
rises as Solomon Grundy. So now we've tied Solomon Grundy into the Batman continuity, the Batman 66 continuity.
And really, Cyrus Gold was like the first Solomon Grundy, wasn't he?
Absolutely. So his purpose is to kill Batman and Robin. Fight ensues. Clever use of the Batmobile leads to Grundy being incapacitated by his own beating heart.
Yeah, because his undead potion can't put up with the beating heart of a live person. Okay.
And then, meanwhile, the witchy aunt is trapped in Cyrus's grave.
That was very witty. I laughed, okay?
And then the second story starts with Batman and Robin. They're out looking for Falseface, who has played by Malachi Throne on the series. Now, what's interesting there is he's not actually mentioned as Malachi Throne. It was always question mark. Malachi Throne was better known as a voice actor than actually an on-screen actor. Apparently, he's stolen another serum that might possibly help him revert back to normal. And while they're wandering around a swamp looking for him, a security guard pops up to give them assistance.
And really, is it a security guard?
Of course not. Batman explains to the security guard the stolen formula is not actually an inhibitor. It's a refined version of the same formula that changed Falseface's originally. Oh no, the security guard's actually Falseface. Wah, wah, wah.
Yes. And of course he runs away. I don't know why he came up to him in the first place.
Right. And then runs into quicksand and emerges as Clayface. So now we've tied Clayface into the Batman 66 continuity, and also was a nice wrap-up to the concept of Falseface, a character that was pretty much, I think he's referenced once in the comics, but was pretty much, this was his main appearance in the Batman continuity, but he really didn't make much sense, so Clayface makes more sense anyways. Batman is again able to thwart the villain, this time by using the face of Basil Carlo, the real identity of Falseface, who was the first Clayface in the comics was Basil Carlo.
Oh,
so it all ties together.
Oh, okay.
That caused an existential crisis for Clayface, who seems to have lost his ability to reform, but they just leave the clay there.
Maybe they go back later and pick it up. I don't know.
I would hope so. Let's move on to Convergence.
Oh, it's the last bit of Convergence. I had two favorites, of course. My two favorites are Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. So we're going to talk about both of those, right?
Absolutely.
Convergence Blue Beetle number 2, Bob Dell, Lee, and McCaig?
Right.
So Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, and Vic Sages the Question are all in Hub City. And this is a rare case in this series of the city that was transported is not Gotham or Metropolis.
And Hub City was the city from Earth 4, a.k.a. the Charlton universe that
DC
bought.
Oh, so they wouldn't have had a Gotham or a Metropolis.
They wouldn't have had a Gotham. They'd have a Hub City.
Okay. So they are teamed up against the Legion of Superheroes here. It seems like it's a little bit one-sided since there are so many Legionnaires. It shows like 40 Legionnaires.
Yeah.
Three of them. The Legion wants to know who's the leader in Hub City's group. And they have a nice little bit of conversation there where, you know, well, we don't really have a leader, blah, 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 blah. But Beetle kind of takes over.
Right.
He wants them to surrender, the Legion, but they don't. Of course not. And then he electrifies the hull of the Beetle flying
bug.
Thing.
The it's, bug. It's called the bug.
The bug. And they escape the Legion and go off to make some plans. So while the Atom and the Question are holding off the Legion, he works out his plans. And I loved it. There was one point where the Question sends Brainy into a brain spasm.
Yeah.
By asking him like a Cohen question,
right,
you know,
yeah.
It was pretty good. Beetle gets together with three of the Legionnaires.
Who are all telepaths or have various telepathic abilities.
And it looks like all is lost because Hub City is destroyed in what seems to be an earthquake. But it turns out that Beetle arranged with the telepaths to make it look like Hub City was destroyed so Telos would be happy. And then everyone can work together now to thwart Telos. But the best part of the whole comic, did you think?
Yes.
Blue Beagle. There's a dog that Ted adopts and names Blue Beagle. There was also a preview of Black Canary in that comic. Oh, that looked not like my cup of tea at all.
No. They're putting a preview of all the new books into these second month of Convergence issues, and a lot of them do not look promising.
I just can't see Black Canary as a rock star.
No, it makes no sense.
No.
And then the second of the Convergence titles is Booster Gold number 2 by Juergens, Martinez, and Fernandez. There's a lot of jumping back and forth, as there always is in Blue Beetle. We're all under the dome before Telos makes his big bellowing announcement. Booster and Blue Beetle back together again. The blue and the gold.
Woohoo!
But this Booster thinks Ted should be dead because he's later in the continuity, but he's ecstatically happy he's not. They have some reminiscing. Booster warns Ted not to trust Maxwell Lord, which makes sense because
Maxwell Lord
blows his head off later. Booster starts having pains, and Beetle wants to take him to hospital. Not going to happen. In the meanwhile, the other Booster, Rip Hunter, and Booster's sister Michelle are talking to the Legion, again, pre-dome removal, about how they got into the dome. The Legion realizes their powers are back, so they attack, thinking they're responsible for the dome. The three escape, using the time stream as a travel conduit to look for Booster. Booster, meanwhile, is at Cord Industries being treated for his chrono problems by Ted.
He's getting older and older and older, very much older. He is dying.
Right.
But there's lots of nice little stories between the two about what's happened in the past.
Yes. So Rip and the others arrive at Cord Industries and break in. Rip says the only way to save the old Booster, who's actually his father, is to take him to Vanishing Point and put him into the chronal time chamber. So they do so. Booster turns into something new, Wave Rider, who's a major player back in the Zero Hour days, but this is the new origin for that character. I'm sure you're lost at this point.
Yeah.
He sends everyone back to their appropriate time stream, rides off into Convergence number 8.
Woo!
And then we have the last two issues of the weekly Convergence.
I was a little confused by what was going on in this one. There's too many characters. Like, there's so many Supermans and so many Green Lanterns.
Yes.
So, and the Green Lanterns are all Hal Jordan. So I don't know.
So Convergence 7 is from King, Labdell, Lepestre, Morales. And then Convergence 8 is King and Labdell and et al.
Et al, yes.
So, yes, there's a lot of confusing things going on in 7. The Earth 2 heroes are fighting Deimos. Telos joins them, and basically everyone who was fighting with Deimos is now against him. Parallax is so annoyed, he kills Deimos, which leads to the planet having problems and an excess of chronal energy, which will kill the planet and the universe.
Oh.
And moving into number 8. So all kinds of heroes are standing around blaming Parallax for killing Deimos.
Because if he had only knocked him unconscious or something, then they wouldn't have this problem with all the excess chronal energy.
Yes. Booster, Wave Rider, and Gold Star pop in, and Wave Rider says the only way to stop the total destruction is to bring in Brainiac, the being that started the whole mess. As you can imagine, this is not popular. After some initial fighting, the heroes and Brainiac eventually talk and realize that Brainiac has now reformed. Through the exposure to his multiverse selves, he starts questioning his motives, and there's nice flashbacks to other comics at that point. Brainiac absorbs the temporal energy and starts to send everyone home, but is blocked by the Crisis on Infinite Earths, the first crisis. So this is, of course, a major event, and actually the event that brought me into comics in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So he decides to send back Supergirl and the Flash back to die, as that's the only way to save the universes. Both the Barry Allen Flash and the Kara Zor-El Supergirl are killed during Crisis on Infinite Earths. But other heroes also volunteer to go back. The Parallax Hal Jordan, Superman from pre-Flashpoint.
And then Lois and her baby, who are married to this Superman, go
right.
back too.
Flash and Supergirl all go back. And then poof, off screen, it appears the crisis now never happened.
Which
means the multiverse was not destroyed, and now the multiverse is back officially. So all the original universes exist, except they're in slightly evolved states.
And basically this means that every single universe that's been introduced since Crisis also exists, but also everything that before Crisis.
Yes. So for example, the Earth 2 from the Golden Age has now been supplanted by the Earth 2 in the New 52.
Yes.
I mean, that's just one example, and there's many examples, and there's like four pages of various Earths with heroes standing behind the Earth, who are the older heroes, and then the newer version standing in front of the Earth. Everyone except the Earth 2 heroes are sent back to their homes, including Brainiac, who leaves the Earth 2 heroes behind on the Telos planet, thinking they will be destroyed.
He says, oh, I'll remember them. That's enough.
Yeah. So they're saved by Green Lantern's force field, now on this barren planet, because the Earth 2 Green Lantern is tied to the green.
Yes.
Except it doesn't save Baron for very long.
Because the Star Trek Enterprise fires the Genesis effect missile down.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, no. But it's basically the same thing. Suddenly, that Earth is lush again. Telos helped them out here, and now Green Lantern can go into space and find the refugee ships that went off at the end of Earth 2, World's End.
Which explains how they're going to have an Earth 2 comic now.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be on this new planet.
Right. And there was something going off in space with pre-crisis Superman and Kara.
And a big stone guy big, or something.
Yeah,
I
and the Source, which was something that was referenced in the New 52 action run, I believe, at one point.
Did that matter at all?
No.
Okay.
We were left with the New 52 with 24 new books that come out starting in June.
Would that be today?
Yes.
And we didn't go to the comic book
store? And we didn't go to the comic book store. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
And a bunch of comics that got canceled.
I think we're probably going to skip who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Because we're already running pretty long on this. And this is such a bizarre setup we have here that I don't think it makes much sense.
Yeah, Mark could actually look over my shoulder and see who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
There is that. So, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.